The title of the message this morning is taken from Philippians 3:13, forgetting the things which are behind. And I think I've preached a message with that title before. I've certainly talked about this theme before, but it was really what was on my heart this week. It's not the same message that I've preached before. I didn't refer back to any of that. But I just really had this in my mind. So I wanted to share this with you and felt it was something the Lord would have me to share. So it's taken from the scripture, Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Verse 14 goes on. I don't have it up there. Reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press on for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I think I'm all of a sudden now drawing a blank what the next verse says. But the idea here is forgetting those things that are behind. And that's a familiar verse to many of us. So reaching for those things ahead and forgetting those things that are behind really go hand in hand, right? If you're holding on to the past, you can't reach for what's ahead, right? You understand what I'm saying? If you're holding on to the past, you can't reach for what's ahead. You can't have one without the other. There's another verse. It's in Isaiah 43. It says, do not remember the former things nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness. So again, here the prophet Isaiah saying something very similar. Do not remember the former things. God doesn't want us living our lives looking backwards. Can I get an amen? God doesn't want us living our lives looking backwards. Now, let me give some context and some balance to this. Forgetting the things that are behind? Really? First of all, let me say this. You can't whitewash the past, all right? And we shouldn't whitewash the past. If there's sin that needs to be dealt with, if there's things that need to be repented of, we need to do that. Sometimes it's very convenient to say, let's just forget what happened, right? And, you know, and again, I'm just trying to give you some context and some balance here. You know, let's just forget the past. But, you know, that's not always the answer. There's sometimes things that have to be dealt with from the past and such. But we cannot live looking backwards. We cannot live our lives looking backwards. We can't live there. There are times we do need to look back. You know, I mean, I'm not contradicting the scripture. I'll show you, you know, the same God who said, forgetting those things that are behind, the same God who said, do not remember the former thing, also said, he told Joshua, when the children of Israel crossed the Jordan River into the promised land, he told them to do what? He told them to set up memorial stones for for the next generation to bring these stones out of, you know, the Lord had dried up the river and allowed the children of Israel to cross the Jordan, and he said, from each tribe, each of the 12 tribes, take a large stone out of the riverbed and bring it over and set it on the promised land side of the river and create these memorial stones, this altar, as it were. And he said, I think I've got the verse up there. And he said, the reason that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean? So clearly, there is a place for looking back. There is a place for remembering the things that God has done, right? So sometimes you just take one verse and you say, okay, forgetting the things that are behind. Well, first of all, we don't even have that capacity, you know, to just forget. Sometimes God does a miracle and certain things he does take away from us. But, you know, we've got to just kind of understand that there is a time for looking back. There is a time for remembering what God has done. And, you know, we're also told in scripture to remember the death of Jesus on the cross, right? That every time we share the Lord's Supper, we are remembering what Jesus did on the cross. So that's a good thing. This is Memorial Day weekend. This is, you know, we are to look back. We are to think about those who have paid the ultimate price for our freedom. That is a good thing to do, to remember. and to look back at that. Last week, last Sunday night, we showed a movie here called I Am Rochester, which is a spiritual history of this region. It was phenomenal. I loved it. For those that had a chance to see it the first time, I hope you enjoy it as much as I do. And so it's a looking back at what God has done in our region. But it's a looking back with the idea, with an eye looking forward at what God is doing today. It's not just looking back from the standpoint of history. Oh, well, that was interesting, you know, what happened, you know, sort of thing. It's okay, this is what God has done, and there's deep seeds of revival, deep roots of revival in our area. So what does God want to do in our day? Because it's not enough just to romanticize the bygone days, right? The good old days. You know, we tend to do that a lot of times. And that's not enough. We must know where we came from. There is a place for memory. There is a place for looking back. And it helps us to know our spiritual heritage. It helps us even sometimes, to know even our lineage, our genealogy. After hearing Will and Matt, you know, those weeks back, it made me more interested in wanting to research my genealogy and such. But here's the thing. Remembering the past and living in the past are two completely different things. Okay? That's the line in the sand. It's not wrong to remember the past. And we're told, like I said in scripture many times, to do that. And there's a place for that. And there's a place for that in our lives today. But that's not the same as living in the past. And that's what I think ultimately God is saying to us. When you take the whole counsel of God's word together and, you know, forgetting the things that are behind and do not remember the former things, and you take that with the, you know, remember the death of Christ and the memorial stones and different examples I gave you, when you kind of put, and that's what you really have to do with the scriptures, you kind of have to put it all together to begin to understand fully what God is saying. You can't just pick a verse out and say, that's the one, and I'm not going to look at anything else. So when you take that whole thing, the whole counsel of God's word, that gets us in the right place. Amen? So a couple of weeks ago, I was some kind of email. It was probably like a spam email, to be honest. We all get lots of those. So I click, 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 you know, delete, delete. But something caught my eye about this. And I can't remember who it was and what organization it was. But the guy was writing, and it was somehow I was on some big email list or something. And this was addressed to business leaders. And you say, well, I don't feel like I'm a leader and I'm not in business, so this doesn't apply to me. It applies to every one of us, because what this guy said, and it was just a couple of paragraphs, and I think he was trying to sell something, I don't know, a book or seminar or something like that. And he talked about this thing, and I thought, I saved it, you know, which is rare, because I click, 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 you know, delete, delete, delete. And I saved this because I thought it was really good. And he said this. He said, the older I get, the more nostalgic I become. How many can understand that? Huh? The older I get, the more nostalgic I become. I'm not sure why. It's not a bad thing. But as leaders, and again, don't just say, well, that doesn't apply to me. This applies to all of us. But I'm just going to read it the way he wrote it, because he's addressing it to business leaders. But as leaders, sometimes the past can become the good old days, especially with the challenges of today. And then he says this interesting. He says, COVID was like a bomb. COVID was like a bomb that blew up the bridge to the past. If we're not careful, we can look longingly toward those non-COVID days. We can become nostalgic leaders, longing for the more comfortable days of the past instead of visionary leaders who are plowing new ground. Let's be honest, though. We have a tendency to forget the pain of the past. At least I do, he says, especially when we wake up to today's challenges. It's okay to have a fondness for the past, but we also must not overlook the challenges we had there too. Leadership teams can make a mistake of trying to lead their teams unknowingly back to the past. And this happens because it's familiar. It's familiar ground, and we had success there. Not always, you know, but many times in what he's saying. You know, we had success there. It's why we must look forward. Nostalgia is fine, but don't get stuck being a nostalgic leader longing for days gone by. And I would say again, third time, none of us can be that kind of nostalgic person, just longing for the days of the past, as wonderful as they were or whatever. Don't get stuck being a nostalgic person, just longing for days gone by, because frankly, a lot of times it's impossible, right? None of us, maybe you want to be 25 years old again or something like that. Maybe you don't. It all depends, right? And so sometimes we're wishing for things that just aren't even possible. So things are different for all of us. Some of us look back at the past with great fondness, right? Not that it was perfect, but we look back with great fondness. Others of us, it was traumatic, and we want to forget the past, right? It was a difficult time in life. But one thing the past is for all of us, is it's familiar. Hear what I'm saying? It's known. So even if it was painful, even if it was difficult, at least we know it. At least we feel like we knew it. And that's a powerful incentive. Even if it was difficult, even if it was very difficult, we can look at it and say, well, at least I got through it. Right? It wasn't easy, but I got through it. We can't say that about the future because the future is unknown. And so we can't say the same thing, and maybe we won't get through it next time. And so sometimes I think that keeps us wanting to live in the past because we're afraid of the future, and, you know, maybe we won't get through it. That's what our minds maybe are telling us. You know, when the ads on television about investments, Charles Schwab or something like that, and they'll say past performance is not indicative of future results or something to that effect, you know what I'm saying? And so we're saying, well, yeah, we got through it in the past, but maybe it's not going to work the same now in the future. So we're a little bit afraid, and it's easier and it's more secure, it seems, to kind of go back to what we were comfortable with. But we got to remember, God has promised us a good future. I didn't say, and now this goes back to what I preached about last week, I'm not saying an easy future, right? God doesn't promise an easy future to us, but he promises a good future. Jeremiah 29:11, a future and a hope God promises to us. Don't get stuck living looking in the rear view mirror, okay? Rear view mirrors have a place, right? I don't know if anybody ever remembers this movie. It's a movie called The Gumball Rally, right? I don't even remember seeing the movie, but I remember this one scene. And maybe I just saw the scene because I don't remember much, if anything, about the movie. I think it's a comedy, and it's about a cross-country race, I think. And it's a comedy and whatever, and I don't remember. But the one scene that sticks out in my mind, there's a guy and he's sitting in this red sports car convertible, you know? And I don't know what the... I actually looked it up. There's like a 20-second thing on YouTube that just has this one little scene from the Gumball Rally. And he's sitting there, and there's a passenger in the car. Where's Jason? He must be out checking things out, but doing his job. But the guy's Italian. That's why I think of, for all the Italians here, the driver of the car is Italian, and he's sitting in this little red sports car convertible, and he says... And I can't do a very good Italian accent. But he says, my friend, the first rule of Italian driving. And he grabs the rearview mirror and he yanks it off the windshield and he throws it out of the car. And he says, what's behind me is not important. And so that was what I was thinking about. You know, that's how spiritual I am, and I'm thinking about, forgetting the things that are behind. Well, that's not always true. If my son, who's a police officer, is behind you, you better be paying attention to what's behind you, right? So, it's not always, I'm not saying that's good advice all the time, because what's behind us sometimes is very important. But I thought it was funny, and it kind of spoke to this idea of ripping the rearview mirror off, and not living in the rearview mirror. History is very important, but we can't live by looking in the rearview mirror. Hebrews chapter 11, scripture that talks about those who are people of faith. And it says this, and this is speaking of Abraham and the patriarchs, and truly if they had been had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. When you spend your life looking over your shoulder, reminiscing about the past, it takes away from being able to embrace the future that God has for you. And it creates a temptation to go back, because like I said before, it's familiar, it's known, and you felt comfortable, even if it was difficult. Like I said in the beginning, Philippians chapter 3, you can't reach forward to those things which are ahead if you're holding on to the things that are behind. That doesn't work well. Jesus, in Luke chapter 9, he's talking about the cost of discipleship. And he says this, Jesus said to him, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." That's strong language. That's a very strong language. Jesus doesn't mince words here. He's talking, say, you want to be a disciple? You want to be a follower of me? You know, he could have softened the blow. He could have said, putting your hand to the plow and looking back isn't a good idea. You know, that's not a very good idea. Or, you know, that's not the best way to live. He says, no, he says, if you put your hand to the plow and you look back, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. You know, I guess he has some very strong feelings about that. This is serious business. And so, you know, you've probably heard, or, you know, the old analogy that when, you know, in the old days when there was a team of horses and a plow and they're plowing a field and the farmer wants to plow a straight row, he can't look over his shoulder when he's doing it. He's got to look ahead. He's got to pick that point on the other side of the field and he's got to follow it. And that way he plows a straight row. Once you take a hold of the plow handles, there is no looking back, church. There's no looking back. Like Jesus said to Peter, are you going to turn away also? And Peter said, and I quoted this a million times, Lord, there is nowhere else to go because you have the words of eternal life. I'm not looking back. There's nowhere. Where am I going? I've burned my bridges. I'm not going back to the past. Sparky Anderson, he was a famous baseball manager. I think he was the first, I don't know if others have done it, to win. He was the manager for the Cincinnati Reds, and I think, I'm not sure who in the other league. But he won World Series in both the American League and the National League. But he said this, he said, I have my faults, but living in the past is not one of them, and there's no future in it. There's no future in living in the past. And that was his way of saying it. It's good advice. And one of the devil's strategies is to get us to live in the past. Please hear me on this. I'm almost done. Get us to live in the past. And that means both the good and the bad. And that's important to understand. Because the devil can use the good things in your past, which sounds odd. He can also use the bad things in your past, which probably seems to make more sense. Because he can use the good things of your past to cause you to continually want to return to the good old days, like I was talking before, like that business quote that I read earlier. You can rest on your accomplishments now. You've done enough for the kingdom of God. You've served the Lord for all these years. You can coast to the finish line now. And that's the way the enemy can use some of the good things of our past. And we got to be aware of that. You know, you deserve to coast to the finish line because you've done this or that for the Lord. He's also very adept at using the bad things, and that's probably more familiar to us, to condemn us, to cause us to give up, to never want to go after the new things that God has for our lives. The enemy can use both of those things, and I think I have it up here on the screen. Many times the devil uses your past to keep you from your future. The devil uses your past to keep you from your future, both good and bad. When you spend too much time and too much emotional energy looking backward, you're hindered from reaching the things that God has for you today and beyond. Living in the past cripples us from living the life that God has called us to live now. And I believe that's a word for some folks here today. One way that we live in the past is by living as victims. Once you embrace a victim mentality and you choose to live that way, looking back at what's happened to you and how you've suffered, you will be unable to break free and to begin to live the life that could be yours. Because God has, you know, I was just in the jail last night doing my, I'm almost done, bud. I was in the jail last night doing my walkthrough, and I probably use Jeremiah 29:11 as much as any verse I ever use, you know, in the jail. You know, I always say, God has a good future for you. It's up to you whether you're going to, you know, embrace it, whether you're going to live it, right? I'm not saying it's all about us and it's all about our works or nothing like that, but I can say with absolute confidence to every man, every woman in jail, every person here in this congregation, every person, God has a good future for you. That doesn't mean automatically that you're going to experience it. Right? We understand that? We play a role in that. But God has a good future for you. So don't embrace the past in that negative way. I talked about the negative and positive of that. I'm going to ask you to stand. And a couple of weeks ago in men's group, we were talking about that well-known, well-worn verse, Proverbs 29:18. Without a vision, the people perish, right? Without a vision, the people perish. I think the NIV says, without a revelation from God, the people cast off restraint. You know, it means we can't stay disciplined. We can't stay focused when we don't have a vision, when we don't have a revelation from God, when there's not that sense of where God is taking us. There is a future that God has for each and every one of us. But in order to walk in it, you may need to let go of some things from the past. And so I just want to pray with you. Father, I ask you right now to speak to the hearts of your people. I'm just trusting, Lord. I stand here on Sunday mornings and I share the best I can what I feel like you put in my heart to share, but it takes your Holy Spirit, Lord. It's not my words. It's not my, research or whatever, or, you know, all that stuff. It's you and it's your Holy Spirit. And we are asking, I am asking God that your Holy Spirit would search like David said in Psalm 133, search me, O God. Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. Know my thoughts. See if there's any wicked way in me. See if there's also, you know, I'm adding this, you know, a way in my life that I'm looking back that's keeping me from moving forward to the things that you have for me, oh God. And so I pray for every one of us. If there's things that you need to let go of right now, I just pray in Jesus' name that you would be set free from those things, that you would be able to lay them down, lay them at the foot of the cross, cast them upon him, and be free from them once and for all in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And embrace the future that God has for you. He's there, right? God is timeless. He's already there. You have nothing to fear about the future. You have nothing to fear if God's calling you to step out of your comfort zone and do something you've never done before, because he's there with you. The Bible says that he has prepared in advance. He has ordained in advance good works for us to walk in. Are you going to embrace it? The good plans, the future, and the hope that God has for you. It's laying right there in front of you. Maybe there's things you need to cut off from the past, things you need to repent of, things you need to be set free from. But there is a good future if you choose righteousness. I was sharing, I preached in the jail on Friday, and I talked about choose this day. You know, when Joshua said in Joshua 24:15, choose this day whom you will serve, whether it's the Lord or the gods of the Amorites, you know, choose. And I use that verse in Deuteronomy chapter 30, where Moses says, I set before you today life and good, death and cursing. You know, choose, right? Life, good, blessing, or cursing and bad thing. God, there's a choice before us, every one of us. And if you're here today and you've never, I'm not talking about going to church. I'm not talking about, you know, just being a good person. You know, that I use that video of James Ryan from that movie, but it's not just about being a good man. It's about bowing our knee and surrendering our heart to Jesus Christ. And then you can walk in the fullness of what God has. So if anybody here has not done that, I extend that invitation to you to say yes to Jesus, to make him the Lord and Savior of your lives, to make him your all in all, to put him at the center, to put him at the head, to seat him on the throne of your life. You will never, ever, ever regret it. I promise you that. It doesn't mean there'll be an easy life ahead for you, but I promise it'll be good because it'll be of God. So I thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. What's that? What do you have?
It's just Jeremiah.
Well, if you're going to do it, you might as well do it so people can hear.
Different Sundays that we get together and we hear pastor and hear testimonies from people, there's a lot of times that I've kept my mouth shut even though I felt nudged by the Holy Spirit to share something. And today, I felt guilty the more I did. You know, I was just waiting for the opportune moment, so I apologize. I'm dragging this on. But as Pastor shared about the tragedies that happened, it's very easy to get caught up in the sadness and the sickness and the brokenness of this world. But I also truly believe, because of things I've been through personally, that not one bad thing happens in this world that God won't turn around for good.
Amen.
I was recently at Lori Barton's on a day. I just needed her love. And all the things that happened in that short visit were amazing. I don't have TV at home, so I don't see a lot of what goes on in the world. Sometimes I'm thankful for that.
Amen.
You know, there's enough on your own plate to get heavy and down with all these things that encompass us. But I just want to say perspective, how we perceive things, is very big. Because in the few minutes that the news was on at her house, it talked about the tragedy.
Sure.
But ironically, it singled out like three different women that lost their lives that day. Ironically, too, they all came from different churches and put on that TV screen were celebrations for their life and that church opening itself to the community. Now, that was three people that I know of out of 10. Yes, it's a tragedy that those people lost their lives, but on any given day, I didn't even know what John Sugar went through, but on any different day, from moment to moment, we don't know if we'll have life. Anything can happen in the spur of a moment. And we're also to remember that we're warriors in Christ.
Amen.
He was persecuted. We were told we're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So the people that lost their lives, God used them as a tool for his ministry. Because everybody that sat on their couch and watched that news clipping that was horrified by the events, the word of different church congregations and places for people to meet and get hope was brought there. And what's even more eerie to me is at Lori's house, there was a robin that made a nest in her hanging flower pot. She didn't know if it had any eggs or not. So I took my phone, my cheap little flip phone that doesn't take the picture. I hovered it over the pot, and there were four little eggs. And it reminded me of when I lost my uncle, and a lot of things were going on in my life that just had me heavy-hearted. Dee took a minute out of her day to send me a picture of a robin's nest with three eggs in it near her property, and it was the promise of new life.
Amen.
So no matter what life is taken, we're all his anyway. We don't know how many days we'll have, but those people that lost their lives did his work.
Amen.
Because they had good testimony. And I'm sorry, I'm so long-winded.
I've got you beat. I'm more long-winded than you.
There's one other thing I want to share. Since probably before a teenager, I did poetry. I wrote things down, but I never shared. It was like my personal thing or how I dealt with feelings or whatever. So it's out of my comfort zone to share this. I don't know if I'll even be able to read my chicken scratch. But I don't always write down the thoughts I have in church, but I've noticed largely that a lot comes to me when I'm in church. And through my life's journey, a lot of people have said I need to write the book, do this, and I'm like, oh, whatever. But I'm starting to think that maybe part of my purpose is to share my thoughts. So again, I apologize. But as Pastor was sharing, right at the very beginning, the things that happened at the school, at Tops, whatever, it's very hard to get desensitized. Mm-hmm. Our movies, the games our kids play on computers and game systems, it's not the world that he intended for it to be. And thank goodness all these things are coming to a mount, because that means Satan's days are numbered. I don't even know if I can seem to read my own chicken scratch, but I apologize, people. I don't know why I feel so compelled, so I have
to. Go ahead.
Let our minds and hearts not become so hardened that we are desensitized to the pain and brokenness of this world. Keep giving us those eyes to see and ears to hear, to your word, your light, your hope, your grand promises, your ever-faithful love and grace. And then, as Pastor said, not to hang on to the past where we can't live in the present, we can't change things. Our hope is to be in him and to move on. This is not my quote, so thank goodness it means it's short. But there's a quote that came to my mind as you were talking. The journey does not begin until you're willing to leave the harbor. So yeah. Don't hang on where you're in a stuck place. Get the courage, leave the harbor, start the journey.
Amen. Amen. That was good, Sharon. Amen. Great stuff. Thank you, Donna. Take it to heart. You can be dismissed.